I'm like,
one thing that I realized as I was there, and there were six or seven different churches represented there, is, man, do I love my church. And man, do I love the worship here. And man, do I love the people's hearts here. That, you know, I really do. So I am glad to be here in Chino Valley. Amen. Amen. So I'm gonna preach the same message I preached there at this conference, because I just felt the Lord would have me to do that. And so if I had to title this message, it'd be Burn the Wood You Have. Burn the Wood You Have. And so I want to talk about, it was this fresh fire, so Freddie said, hey, make sure when you preach it's about fire. So as I was asking the Lord about it and putting this together, just some things we'll go through here. I want to mention first that in the Old Testament, the word fire is mentioned 466 times. 466 times. Fire is mentioned 83 times in the New Testament. I'm going to tell you, fire consumes. Amen? Fire consumes. And let me say, fire can be good and fire can be bad. So I want to mention the first few times that fire is mentioned in the Bible, period. The first few times. So the first time we hear the word fire is in Genesis 19:24. It was judgment. The first time that we hear about fire was with judgment in the Word of God. Genesis 19:24 says, the sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. And then aren't you glad that you are now walking in a different dispensation, that you and I can accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? Now, we know there's a day coming, amen? There's a day coming, you know, where there will be a final judgment. It says this earth will be consumed by fire. There'll be a new heaven and earth. But, you know, but for you and I, or those who know the Lord, Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, we have passed from what? Death to life. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to eternal life. But the fact is, the first time that fire is mentioned in the Bible, it was upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Man, I pray that God's mercy on this nation, the things that Sodom and Gomorrah were involved in, this country has been involved in now, or trying to push us in a direction that even Sodom and Gomorrah didn't go. But the mercies of God right now are new every morning. Amen. Oh, how God desires, we'll talk about it. He doesn't want to consume this nation with the fire of judgment. He wants to consume this nation with the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's his desire. That's the desire of our Lord God. Amen. And so 1 John 2:2 says, and he himself, this is talking about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He was the atoning victim or sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. Isn't that awesome? Amen. The second time that fire is mentioned in the Bible, it was a sacrifice, a fire sacrifice. And that is in Genesis 22:7-8. Genesis 22:7-8. It said, Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? You remember the story where God said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your one and only son, right? You remember that? I don't have time to qualify that, but this is the second mention of fire. So Isaac said, and he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. So they had the fire, they had the wood. And we know that Jesus, that is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, amen. He is the atoning sacrifice, amen. Ephesians 5:1-2. We know this is a representation of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Any beloved children in the house? And we walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. As a fragrant aroma. In the Old Testament, when they would sacrifice and burned the offering, it was a sweet aroma to God. It was a temporary satisfaction of his wrath against sin. It's not humankind. God loves humankind. Mankind was made in God's image. It's sin that God hates. God is holy and perfect, and sin can't even dwell in his presence. How much sin is there in heaven, by the way? None. Sin is immediately burned up in his presence. Amen. But he was the final, that fragrant offering. As he hung on the cross, it was a sweet aroma. It was like that fire on that sacrifice. And you and I, if you know Jesus as your Savior, we have an aroma. We have an aroma like fire. That's fire. So it says, and let me just mention, so we know that Jesus, amen, was the final sacrifice for sin. Third mention of fire is for purpose and calling. It's for purpose and calling. So the first one was wrath, right? Against first one with fire. Second one was for sacrifice. And the third mention of fire in the Bible is for purpose and calling. Exodus 3:2-4. Exodus 3:2-4 says, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him," that him was Moses, "in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not being consumed. So Moses said," verse 3, "I must turn aside and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burning up?" When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, that's Moses, God called to him from the midst of the bush and the fire and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Amen. You know, many people consider fire like the friend of Satan. You'll see pictures, it's always about like Satan being in hell, right? Or flames. You've seen that in the Pitchfork, right? So many people consider fire the friend of Satan, but actually it's very much an agent of our God. See, fire is an agent, meaning a person or thing that acts or has the power to act. So the first might, if I had a point number one here, fire is an aroma of life or death upon your fire is an aroma. Talking about being on fire for God. An aroma of life or death. 2 Corinthians 2:15-16. Are you still with me out there? "For we are fragrance of Christ." I said, we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Did you hear that? To the one, it's an aroma of death to death. Those who don't know our Lord, they can't stand righteousness. They can't stand Jesus. They can't stand the truth. Your smell of smoke and fire, they cannot stand. They don't want to be around you. They just want to shut you up. Do we have a lot of people right now in our nation like that? It's because they do not like the smell of smoke or fire on you. You don't even have to do anything. And they'll say, "I don't know why, but I don't like that person. I don't like that grin on their face. I don't like that joy. There's something about it I cannot stand." It's that fire of God on that individual. You smell, if you know the Lord, you smell like smoke. You smell like fire. So to the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. That's why it's wonderful being together with the people of God. When God has changed you, when you're born again, it's just you're drawn to other people that smell like smoke. You're drawn to other people that have that same fire. Those are the people you want to rub shoulders with. Those are the people you want to be around because you're brothers and sisters, amen? Those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You like being around them. I want to tell you right now, if you don't like being around the people of God, I want to ask you today, why? He loves you. Some people they're self-appointed prophets, and they think it's their job to judge everybody. Let's spend some time loving one another, serving one another. Amen? Serving one another. God will do the judging, believe me. God is the one that separates, we've talked about it, the wheat from the chaff. As I said before, remember where Jesus said to Peter, "Satan desires to sift you, but I have prayed for you that you're going to stand when you turn back from your failures, Peter." So fire has a smell. Sometimes you can smell it for miles away. Can't you smoke? Or sometimes you can smell it on somebody's clothes. So there are people who burn with a passion for God, or a passion for this world. Aren't you glad that you have a passion for the things of God? I said there are people here. People are either of two camps. They either have a passion for God or a passion for this world. God is looking for people who want to smell like fire. A passion or fire for his purpose. We're going to talk about purpose today. So number one, fire is an aroma of life or death. Number two, God is looking for living sacrifices who carry his fire. But let me talk about that, because in the past I would hear about living sacrifice, and my understanding of that is not what it is now at all. Let me talk about that. So God is looking for living sacrifices. We have to be careful here, because the world knows all about sacrifice. The world knows all about sacrifice. They'll sacrifice all their time for success. Let me say, there's nothing wrong with success. I believe, I don't care what other people think, I believe God wants me successful. God wants me to be an example in a life and to walk in excellence. Whatever he's called me to do, whatever I put my hand to, God wants me to walk in excellence. How about you? He wants me to walk in excellence, but he does not want to be sacrificing all my time for that success. I have been there. If I get enough time at the end, I will mention some of that, but boy, many of you, boy, have I been there. Amen. God does not want us sacrificing our family to reach goals. We don't have to do that as the saints of God. We don't have to sacrifice our families to reach goals in our lives. Amen? You know, really, when God's involved in there, God's grace in your life, man, you can accomplish exactly the desires of your heart that he's put there without sacrificing the people that you love dearly. You don't have to sacrifice them. They'll sacrifice their bodies to addiction just to have peace. Oh, man, how God loves you and I. The Holy Spirit is meant to bring us peace. The Holy Spirit's the one that helps us to walk in his peace and calmness in a world that can make you go crazy. Is that true? Amen. You don't believe me? Just drive to town today. Amen? See, God made everyone. We hear this, but let me talk about it today. It's very important. Don't tune me out yet. God made everyone with a purpose and calling. I said, God, I don't care your age. I don't care your background. I don't care your mistakes. I don't care how foolish you've been or how perfect you've been. God made everyone with purpose and calling. It's called carrying his fire. It's called carrying his fire. You are that sacrifice. Amen. He said, Lord, you made me with purpose. I give my life to you. You lead and direct me. If he gives you the desires of your heart, I'm telling you, he's the one that puts those desires in your heart. He's the one. As I've gotten closer to him, he even tweaks and changes those desires. Amen. It's called carrying your fire. You are the sacrifice. It is a passion to be filled with his grace and truth and his mercy to the world and to those around you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. When I was teaching down there and I got done, which I was a lot more exuberant. Something about when you're with people of like faith, everybody in the room believing the same, pulling the same direction, just sucks the life out of you in a good way. So, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, hallelujah, let us have grace. Let us have grace. I said, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. See, I used to think that consuming fire was, you better pay attention, Bubba. You better walk exactly right. I did. The way I was raised with legalism, that consuming fire, I saw it as bad. Now I see it as, God, consume me with your goodness. Consume me with a passion. Consume me for what you have for me. Lord, lead and direct me. Consume me with the fire of God for the purposes of God. Yes and amen. Can I have an amen there? Amen. Hebrews, for our God is a consuming fire. I said, our God is a consuming fire. fire is a good agent for you and I. I said, fire is an agent that we must have in this day and age. A fire of God ablaze within our hearts. See, the sacrifice is set ablaze first by the word of God. You remember Jeremiah, right? And we had a gal, her name was, Cindy Avila, I think, no, Patty Avila. And this gal had, she had been through so many things in her life, it was like devastating things. But when you don't give up, and you keep trusting God, man, this gal was passionate, man. Of all the speakers, she was the least what seemed exuberant, but I got the most out of her message. Because I could tell that what she was speaking, she was speaking with conviction. Because she said, the devil tried to knock me down. I had great devastation, tried to take me out, but I didn't give up on God. And here now I'm planted in the house of God, growing on fire and walking in my purpose, regardless of what happened 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, or 50 years ago. It was amazing. She had such an authority in the word that she was speaking. And she mentioned this Jeremiah 20, verse 9, as well as I did. But if I say, this is Jeremiah, said, but if I say, I will not remember him. See, remember, Jeremiah had gone through so much. He had been put in prison. They had dropped him down in this well that was just mud at the bottom. It was like, man, Lord, I can't make this. How am I going to endure what I'm going through? But he said this. He said, if I will not remember him, nor speak of him anymore. He said, I'm done with this. Anymore in his name. He says, then in my heart, it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am tired of holding it in, and I cannot endure it anymore. And sometimes I get around people I love and people that I care for, and I know I got to watch what I say, but sometimes it's like a burning fire within my soul, and I can't help but mention his love and his grace and his goodness that he wants to give them. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. His word is like fire. He also, Jeremiah also said, it's like a hammer that breaks things apart. The power of our prayers, the power of our declarations is like a fire. It should be like a fire shut up in our bones. Amen. John 6, 63 and 64. Know what they said to me? They said, man, we love it that you give all these scriptures when you're preaching. I said, that these people here love scripture. Yeah. My pastor Lee loves scripture. Therefore, I love scripture. Scripture is what changes a life anyway, with the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And it is the Spirit who gives life. Who gives life? The Spirit. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh provides what? No benefit. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. And I say, I want to make sure here that there's nobody here that would say, I don't believe. Even in Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, all the miracles he was doing, all the goodness and kindness and love that he was displaying as the Son of God, many people were saying there, I do not believe. I hope today, I don't know everybody here. I hope everybody here, none of you has a heart that says, I do not believe. Oh, how he loves you. I'm telling you here, if you don't know him today, this is what he desires to do. Set your heart on fire. He would desire to set you ablaze with purpose. I've noticed that people that understand purpose, it doesn't mean having to be behind a pulpit, my goodness. It could be little things, we'll talk about that. But people with purpose don't have time to nitpick at everything else. They're too busy. They're too busy doing what God's called them to do. They're too busy interceding and praying for those in need. They're too busy saying, God, what can I do for you? What have you placed in me that I could do in this day, in this hour? It's others that I don't read the word to find something that I can argue with people about. How about you? I look at the word to say, Lord, what can you reveal to me about yourself? Lord, what can you show me about your goodness and your character? Let's be a people that's too busy with the fire of God to be concerned about what other people are doing. Amen? I'm too busy following him. Let me say this. This sacrifice is set ablaze by the word of God. Number four, this fresh fire always produces purpose, always. And I mentioned it before, and I'll mention it again. If every rehab in America could have people realize that God made him with a purpose, it would set their hearts on fire. It is purpose that allows a heart to remain, to fan a flame, we'll talk about, to be on fire. See, if you're just trying to quit or give up something, but you don't think you have a purpose, you won't be able to do it. Pretty soon you'll get knocked off of the strength of the flesh to give up. But when you realize you have purpose, I'm telling you, I've learned through my own life that you will give up anything that hinders you to follow the purposes of God. I said, you'll give up anything. God will allow you to leave things behind by his strength and by his grace and his mercy, because you will have an attitude of, I will not let anything get in the way of purpose. And everybody, regardless of age, regardless of background, has purpose. I'm telling you, if we didn't have a purpose, let's close these doors and do something else. I said, if there's no purpose, let's close these doors and do something else, because I would have something else better to do than preach something else, than do this, and it'd be about something else other than purpose. Purpose. Like I said, what young people need today is to know that God has a purpose. And when you realize you have purpose, you can't help but by the Holy Spirit have a heart aflame and on fire. Aflame and on fire. 2 Timothy, this is where I get the scripture, and this is where I'm going to get. So really, I'm leading all of that stuff I said to here for the next 15 minutes. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, I'm writing. So he says, I'm writing. Who's he writing? Timothy. He says, I'm writing for this reason. I am writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you when I laid my hands upon you. Let me just say this, that God can impart spiritual gifts all kinds of different ways. Just because Paul said, this gift I gave you was imparted to you by the laying on my hands, it's not the only way. It's a powerful way. But I've had many things that I walked into by God, just my heart being on fire and him revealing things to me that no one ever laid hands on to me. When I first came to this church and started cleaning the parking lot, because I was so amazed at what the gospel of grace did in my life after being trapped in legalism for 20 plus years, that I was out there with a fire doing my best job to clean this parking lot with a big smile and grin, and just every bit as happy then as now, except with a lot less responsibility. So I had purpose, and my purpose started out, I'll clean that parking lot, I want it to look good. And I had a fire and a purpose in my life. For God will never give you the spirit of fear in the Passion Translation, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So I want to talk about fanning the flame. Paul says here, I encourage you, Timothy, to fan the flame and rekindle the fire. We don't know what was going on in Timothy. We know that he was getting pressured, even by his own congregation, that were saying, you're too young. We don't know who you think you are, Timothy, but you're just a young whippersnapper. Maybe you ought to take a seat. And Timothy reminded him, it's like, no, I want to remind you to fan a flame, the gift of God that you have by the laying on my hands. Get busy and do what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. Amen. So let me say this. The fresh fire always produces purpose. Point five, you have a specially tailored purpose. You have what I call like a fire pit. You have a fire pit inside of you. It can be, and so this can be paired to, but you don't want to compare yourself to somebody else's fire pit. You know, we look at Moses and think, what a bonfire of purpose he had, right? But we forget the 40 years he spent in the desert. We look at pastors or leaders or someone called to be a giver in the kingdom of God, so they have substantial wealth, and we say, what a massive bonfire or fire pit they have. But we haven't seen all the stoking and prodding and the putting wood on the fire for many years previous. before I was ever pastor here, the scripture that God gave me that I thought, realizing now, that if I was ever a pastor, this would be my banner scripture. This would be my banner scripture. This is what I would want it to be about. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one, say, I'm a one. Say, I am a one, please. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. So how did you get this gift? By the grace of God. Right? You got that gift by the grace of God. It's something that God gave you. It wasn't something you earned. That you'll have to manage it, and you can build on it, and you have skills that you hone and become better at. That's different. But it starts out with something that God placed within you. So my scripture for this church is, each one of you has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. So I have to say that for me to feel, as a pastor, to feel fulfilled is not to have people come up and pat me on the back and say, you were wonderful today. But if they would say, you know what, I have the confidence. God has done such a work in my heart that I'm saying, Lord, how do you want to use me? Lord, what can I do? It's outside the church. It's inside the church. I mean, there's so many different. It's in business. It's on your job. Different things. It's multifaceted. It means there's so many different giftings and callings. So many different graces put on people's lives. Only you can discover that. Only you can discover it. Only you can manage that. Only you can be the one saying, yes, I'm going to walk in that. Amen. Yes, I'm going to do exactly what God has put in my heart. And so what am I saying? Your gifting is the wood for your fire. Your gifting is the wood for the fire. I had mentioned before, I've seen people a lot that will get a fire come upon them and it becomes a flash in a pan because there's no fuel. There's no fuel. They'll go around looking for a fire. And they'll receive fire, but there's no fuel. And I'm telling you, the fuel for your fire is God's purpose. I go back to 2 Corinthians 1:6. He says, I fan the flame, stoke it. And he said, what is it? It's the gift of God. He said, fan the flame of the gift of God in your life. And as I was preparing for it, it just dawned on me. So as I was preaching, you know, my part in this conference, I said, look, when you leave here, what wood's going to be burning? So many people look at, well, if I had this, if I did this, or if I was behind the pulpit, I would have a fire. Well, no, I told you, I had a fire burning bright long before that. You see, I'll get ahead of myself. I'm trying to not do that. I'm trying to teach more this morning. Your gifting is wood for your fire. God's fire and passion could erupt in your life right now, but if you do not pursue purpose, then there is no fuel to keep the fire burning. Flash in the pan, right? Why does the devil attack us to give up on purpose? If he can get you to give up on any purpose in your life, then the fire begins to dwindle. It becomes embers. It becomes smoke. And then pretty soon it starts dying. Didn't say anything about salvation at all. It means you give up on stoking that piece of wood in that fire pit. You're stoking, say, God. I was talking this morning as pre-service prayer, and I was saying, you know, that scripture says he gave me beauty for ashes. But for this message like this, I said, whatever wood, different pieces of wood, a purpose you give me, Lord, when I leave the earth, I want them to be completely ash. I do not want anything left. I want every piece of wood that's my purpose in my life being a raging fire. And when I check out in many, many years from now, or when Jesus comes back, I want that to be completely ash. Your gifting is wood in the fire, amen? God's fire and passion could erupt in your life right now, amen? Fan the flame. How do I find this gifting, this wood, right? This piece of wood. It is always in serving one another. It's never in looking to be, hey, I'm pastor, serve me. No, I already told you, my act of service here, what brings joy to my heart is, what does God have for you? What's God's purpose for you? What can you use to become a passion and a fire in your life? If the enemy can keep you from even thinking about it, if the enemy can just keep you thinking from paycheck to paycheck, then you'll never pursue that. You have to lift your eyes up. Amen? You have to lift your eyes up and start realizing that God's going to take care of these other things and start thinking about purpose. Luke 16:10. How do I find this gifting, this wood? It is in serving one another. The one who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. So let me say that all the different things you could be serving as an usher in your church and have an absolute bonfire that is out of control for God. You might be serving in the sound booth back there and have a fire, a passion for the church that is completely out of control. You might be serving in kids' church or doing announcements in the men's group and have an absolute roaring fire. You may be evangelizing on your job or out on the streets and have an absolute fire for God. You may be raising kids with purpose, and it is like a wood, it's like wood from God that is an absolute passion and fire in your life. Amen. So whatever it is, it could be the little thing. So I just learned that just helping in the little things was a piece of wood on my fire. And I would just stoke it. Say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you for being able to be with the people of God. Thank you for that, God. And that little piece of wood begin to burn. And then something else, God, would add to me. There'd be another piece of wood. And so now I got two pieces of wood burning. But if God gave me a second piece of wood, and that first wood doesn't have any type of flame, it just sits there in a fire pit that is smoldering. Or sometimes it can be where God's called people somewhere. I said, God, we've been called here. This is where God has us. And then a fence comes in. And that wood's starting to burn with other brothers and sisters. And they get offended, and they pick up that piece of wood. They said, I'm going somewhere else. So they take that wood somewhere else, and it begins. You take it out of the fire pit, and it begins to just smolder. And they throw it somewhere else and say, Pastor, light my fire. And then after a spell or whatever, that doesn't work out. They pick up that wood again. And so that wood never gets to burn. It never gets to fan, or it never becomes a fire. Because it's always being transported from one fire pit to the next, and you cannot burn a fire that way. Now, look, I know I have to qualify that. If you're in a church that is abusing people, or that you don't fit in, of course you don't stay there. I'm talking about where you have somewhere where you say, God's called us here. And then a fence keeps popping up, and you keep moving. Eventually, you have to face that offense. Let that wood be in that fire pit and begin to stoke and say, no more. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to let that log begin to burn and fire up right here. I'm not going to pick this piece of wood up anymore. I'm done with that. I'm going to fan that into a flame. I'm going to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ. And as that thing becomes a roaring flame, that piece of wood, God will give you another piece of wood. And the next thing you know is God begins adding pieces of wood as your purpose, as God begins to reveal your purpose to you. Next thing you know, you have all these logs on fire. But it always starts with one log, a serving. And it'll always end, no matter how many logs you have, serving. Amen. Don't despise small beginnings, because God will give you a desire, a purpose, and it could be awesome. It could be powerful. You could be saying, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I can tell you it always starts with serving. It all starts with the small things. It always begins with the insignificant. And then God will add to that logs of purpose. I know that's how it works. If you have an ember here today, it's saying, Lord, put that log I have here back on fire. Lord, I'm going to let the wood I have here burn. I'm going to be consistent where I am. Lord, I'm not going to pick up that log and go anywhere else. Lord, I want that to become on fire here, and I want you to add more wood. Amen and amen. Amen. Let me just say real quick in point eight is burnout. You ever heard the term burnout? That sounds like it has to do with fire. Right? Burnout. I had wood and I'm consumed. I had a business one time. I owned a Dairy Queen brazier. Long, I was like 30 years old, and I learned within a few years what burnout is, working 100-hour weeks. And when you experience burnout, you're like, done. And I'm telling you, when you experience burnout, it's like you can't even go to another job. You'll just start crying right there. You can't eat. You can't sleep. There's no joy. There's no strength. There's no peace. I experienced that. It took me a couple years to recover. See, burnout, the fire's gone. I'm done. So here's some reasons that I think that we can have burnout, serving for the wrong reasons. If you're serving to please God, you're going to end up with burnout. But if you know that in Him you already are pleasing to Him, you serve out of a grateful heart. You serve out of grace and mercy. You know that you're already pleasing in His sight. You know that you are already belong. You already know that you're His child. And so you're not serving out of a wrong motive there. Putting unrealistic expectations on yourself. Some people do that. Perfectionist, unrealistic. And they just become disenfranchised and they become burned out because, man, I expected more from me. I expected this and that. Sometimes we just got to relax. We're going to have times, brothers and sisters, where we fail. We're going to have times where we have shortcomings. Amen? We're going to have times where we need God's grace to cover situations in our lives. So we can't have unrealistic expectations on ourselves. Amen? Putting unrealistic expectations on someone else, that can cause burnout. You didn't meet what my expectation, and we get upset. And then we start, that's where sometimes resentment or bitterness can set in. Unrealistic expectations on someone else. You know who we could really do this with? Well, thank you, brother. With our spouses. Unrealistic expectations. Not giving any grace there. How about this one? Someone else putting unrealistic expectations on you. Amen. We're all going to fail, or we're growing at different things, right? I'm learning, you know what, that not to have unrealistic expectations on others or think that people think like me. Who says that the way I think is exactly right, even if in my mind I think I do? But having unrealistic expectations on others, amen? God, there's people that are like, hey, there's different seasons too. So let me just say this about this fire, about a fire. You could just be relaxing in a season of your life and just letting the fire that you have just burn. I'm not saying that you have to just hit it hard. I remember I had seasons where I just relaxed, refreshed, allowed the Lord to refresh me. But I didn't stay there forever. We're not wired that way. But that's very godly when you have that season where you're just relaxing, enjoying the Father's presence, enjoying His goodness, enjoying His grace. And He'll be the one that'll say, hey, He'll start putting little dreams and ideals and things in your heart. And he'll say, hey, I want you to kick it into first gear. Just want you to kick it in granny gear. Just get coasting. Yeah, He'll speak to your heart, won't He? I mean, if you have a relationship with Him and His Spirit lives in you, then He can speak to you. Sometimes people will have logs in their fire purpose, and they get upset, and they want to kick those logs out. They'll go find somebody else to prophesy something else over them. I want a different log. I want a different purpose. I want something more grandiose. But I'm telling you, grandiose starts with kindling. I said grandiose starts with kindling. Amen. And allow the God to add those things to your life. Amen. God is prophetic word real. Yeah. Does God, we saw it this weekend, is God's power real? But sometimes people be careful. They're looking for the next word where God says, I've given you a piece of wood. I've given you purpose. Allow that to burn. Stoke that. Be faithful. Be committed. Be consistent. Amen. So there may be some of you here that have been saying to God, Lord, I need some fire. Lord, I need some wood for my fire. But God is saying, you have wood now. Or maybe you have wood now that just needs to be stoked. You have wood now that has never been fanned. Amen. I'm not saying that God's fire can't fall and do all that stuff. But on Monday morning, you want that fire still burns a purpose that God put in your heart. Amen. When the worship's not there, when we're not together there, Monday, you still want that fire burning for purpose. Amen? Amen and amen. So you start saying, Lord, what part can I play in your body? What part can I play in my community? What part can I play at my job? Ask God for some wood. God wants to add wood, deeper purpose to our lives. But if the wood we have isn't on fire, no more wood will help. No additional wood will help. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. We love you. We thank you for your faithfulness as the worship team comes. Lord, we want you to fan the flame of the fire of God in our lives. Lord, we want to live a purposeful life. Don't you, saints? Are you here? I want to live a purposeful life. I want to say, Lord, again, fan the flame of the fire in my heart for purpose in you. Some of you, the one thing about the grace of God on your life is you can just do it automatically, though. Some of you automatically are evangelizers. Some of you automatically invite people. Some of you automatically, purposely, are already raising your children to realize that God made them for purpose. Being purposeful. God wants us to be purposeful in our lives. If there's anything that's really easy, it's just, and I'm telling you, it's this way for me, is to stick it into neutral and just let it coast. And the thing that I'll tell myself is, man, I've worked hard enough. My gosh, look at my age. I've worked hard enough. But I can't help this fire. This wood in my heart that God says, let it burn. Stoke it. Stoke it. Let that flame come alive again. Allow that to bring life to you again. Sometimes I'm realizing what I'm saying here is if you're saying, man, I feel dead. Say, Lord, yes, I want you to set me on fire again. But what is the purpose of the wood in your life that you can carry that flame? It is no fun to live a life and have no purpose. There's no joy. There's no fire. There's no passion. Amen. I'm not saying things won't be hard, but there's no passion there. God wants to have, passion for things in our life. It's just like my wife. I have a bonfire, great passion for my wife. But I got to stoke that thing. I got to stoke that thing. I got to fan the flame for that passion for my wife. It just didn't happen, man. I got to purposely say, I will not let this fire die for my wife. And it's the same thing with our walk and purpose of God. We have to purposely say, God, I will not let the fire and the flame and the passion for whatever you've made me die. I'm going to stoke that thing. You've got to live purposefully. It will not happen if you're just coasting in neutral. No, God says, I got purposes. I got places for you. I got things for you. Don't despise that one, whatever it could be, whether you're sweeping the parking lot. Whether you're cleaning a toilet, whatever you're doing, whether you're in a sound booth or in something outside of the church here, whether it's working in kids' church or whatever it is, do not despise the wood that you have in your fire pit right now. I would advise you just to start fanning the flame of that, what you have, and allow the Lord to put more wood, a purpose in your life, but be consistent. Allow Him to see that you are consistent with the wood you have right now. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what your education is. If you don't have, you don't understand purpose in life, it won't mean a lick when you pass on. It won't mean a lick. Thank you, Father, for purpose in your house. Let me add one more point that, a couple more maybe. I'm going to just move on. Let me say this. I found provision in the fire. See, I found purpose in serving others and God. And I was found faithful in the small things and the Lord started saying, here's some more wood for your fire, son. See, this promotion wasn't just in being seen at church in a leadership role, but it was promotion in the marketplace as well. And I'm telling you, it was funny. I began to make more money with less effort. I began to make more money with less effort. I'm not lying.
Yes, amen.
I'm telling you, I began to make more money with less effort when I started looking at saying, Lord, what is my purpose? I know it's got to be more than just making a lot of money. I know it's got to be more than just whatever I was looking at the time. See, before I came here, I was number one in my real estate company by far, by far. And people would say, you are on fire. But inside, I was completely dead. I was completely dead. And I was saying, is this all there is to it? My wife would just weep and say, man, I just can't figure this out. And then when I heard his message of grace and love for me, when I got rid of the legalism, of trying to please him and just said, Lord, I believe by faith that you love me, this fire began. And so I had more passion sweeping a parking lot than I did going up front getting my awards. Saying, you're the man. I had more passion sweeping that parking lot than I did on a stage being recognized. Finally got a piece of wood for my fire. See, don't despise something. Lord says this anything. Say, Lord, you show me. How can I help? How can I serve? So I just begin to say, how can I help here?
Amen.
Parking lot, sound booth, children's church. No, it wasn't because I was called to children's church. I was just, this wood started building a bonfire in my life.
Thank you.
Cleaning the church, different things. And that I just kept fanning the flame. Didn't allow resentment or bitterness. I didn't allow being offended to take me out. Sure wanted to. And that I just kept fanning the flame. That's why now I love seeing people who pursue purpose.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it. It's like, go get it. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. It may seem insignificant to me, but I know that it's something that God had put in them. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for the fire of God today. We thank you for the anointing of God today. We thank you for the purposes of God today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we thank you for breaking off religious traditions in the name of Jesus. We thank you for breaking off lying spirits in the name of Jesus that whisper in our ears day after day, year after year, Father God, that keep us from the purpose and the fire of God in our lives. And Father, God, we ask that you break that in Jesus' name, and that the love of God, the power of God, and the mercy of God would flow into every heart, Father God. We pray that those wood, that wood in our lives, Father God, as an amber, God, would begin to come back as we wave our hand over to the Spirit, God, as we blow on it in the Spirit, God, and saying, come back to life in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare right now, dead wood to come back to life again in Jesus' name. Those areas that have been dry, those areas that have been dead, those things that have had no fire, we declare those things right now in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit to come alive again, to come alive with passion and purpose in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. We thank you for breathing on us afresh and anew. We thank you for the anointing, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for doing great things through us that only you can do. Doing great things through us that only we can accomplish, Father God. Because you gave us a specific set of gifts. You gave us specific wood for our fire. And it starts to say, Lord, I'm a sacrifice. Put wood underneath me. Put wood underneath me. Use me for your glory. Realign me. The thing is, say, Lord, thank you. Just say, Lord, forgive me for letting that flame ever to go out. Lord, forgive me for allowing ever, if you know him, forever going out. And he says, no problem. I've been waiting for you to ask me to put that wood on fire again. Oh, how he loves you and I. Oh, I said, oh, how he loves you and I. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, after the service, please come and talk to me. I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ, who will set you ablaze and on fire. Can we stand up together? We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness and your fire. Father, we thank you for the fire of God. We thank you for the anointing of God. We thank you, Father, for fire pits, Father God, that have wood laying off to the side, being put back in the middle of it, Father God, and being fanned to flame right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Lord, we worship you and honor you this morning, God. We worship and honor you this morning, God. Oh, God, how we love you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your kindness, Father God. Thank you for your long-suffering towards me, Father God. Thank you that you never left me or forsook me, Lord. That you're still here, Father God. Oh, we thank you for that, God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for breaking off condemnation in the name of Jesus. I come against that lying, religious spirit of condemnation. We broke it off of you in the name of Jesus. And that you would receive his love and his goodness and his purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Say, thank you, Lord, for your fire. Thank you for wood, purpose for my fire. Do not allow the enemy to keep you a victim. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Receive of his goodness. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, hallelujah. Amen. Thanks for coming to church.